Good morning. Thank you. And thanks for inviting me. Thanks for coming. I'm excited to be here and wanted to also thank my co-authors, Caroline Moreau, James Trussell, and Jennifer Barber. So we don't have any disclosures to report. So the practice of contraception is nearly universal among sexually active reproductive aged women. However, contraceptive users account for nearly half of the annual unintended pregnancies in the United States. 90% of these are due to non-use, inconsistent use, or incorrect use of contraceptive methods. Selection of an appropriate and effective contraceptive method is important for all women, but it's particularly important for women who may be at risk for user-related method failures. We know that adverse psychological symptoms such as depression and stress are common among reproductive age women, and they're associated with general non-adherence to medication use, as well as they've been linked with risky sexual behavior. So for instance, multiple sexual partners, sexually transmitted infection acquisition, sex while under the influence of drugs, as well as early and unprotected coitarchy. For young women with psychological symptoms, use of effective contraceptive methods that require little user burden may enhance long-term method adherence as well as prevent negative reproductive health outcomes. However, little is known about young women's psychological symptoms and their influence on their contraceptive method use and non-use, as well as method choice over time. So we sought to prospectively investigate the effect of depression and psychological stress symptoms on young women's weekly contraceptive use and non-use of contraceptive methods. So data were drawn from a population-based longitudinal cohort study of 992 women ages 18 to 19 years old residing in Michigan. Names and contact information of the women were obtained from state driver's license data as well as personal identification card data. And a random sample was selected and contacted by mail and asked to participate. Sample recruitment occurred between March 2008 and March 2009. So following informed consent, young women completed a 60-minute face-to-face baseline survey interview, and we assessed demographics, social characteristics, relationship characteristics, reproductive health intentions, contraceptive histories, and some health-related characteristics. Then participants were invited to participate in a weekly journal-based study for a period of 2.5 years. And these journals were completed online or by phone and measured dynamic aspects of women's lives. So, for instance, contraceptive use patterns, pregnancy and relationship status changes. Response rates for the baseline survey were 86%, with 78% actually completing the first 12 months of surveys. And for data analysis, we used random effects in multinomial logistic regression models. So here you can see the selection of the sample. Initially, the sample was comprised of 992 women, as I said. We focused on contraceptive use during the first 12 months, given the high response rates during this period. We excluded women who became and remained pregnant during the study period, at least while they were followed, were not sexually active during any weeks of the study period, and those who had some missing contraceptive information. So our final sample included 689 women, non-pregnant, sexually active women, who completed nearly 9,000 journal entries during the first 12 months of study. Here we have some of the baseline characteristics. You can see that women were on average 18 and a little more 19 years old at enrollment. The majority identified as white, although we had 32% as black race and ethnicity. Over half were enrolled in a four-year or two-year college education program, and half were employed, though 28% did report that they were on some form of public assistance. Many reported attending religious services. Three-quarters of the women were in a relationship, 21% were actually living with a romantic partner, and 11% only were married or engaged. We found that one-fifth of women had experienced coitarchy at a young age, 14 years or under, and 39% reported having four or more lifetime sexual partners. A quarter had reported a history of pregnancy. And for contraceptive experience, which is not shown on here, nearly all women, 88%, had used contraception at some point in their lives, but also 51% reported that they had ever had sexual intercourse that was unprotected. The most common form of contraceptive use previously was oral contraceptives. So abbreviated versions of standardized psychological scales were included in the baseline interview. We used the Center for Epidemiologic Studies Depression Scale, abbreviated five-question screen, that assesses depressive symptoms over the previous week. So we assessed symptoms like could not shake off the blues, I was sad, or I was depressed. Responses were on a four-point Likert scale with scores ranging from 0 to 15, and we used a standard cutoff point of four or more points to detect moderate to severe baseline depression symptoms. For perceived stress, we used a perceived stress scale, and this was a four-question item that assesses the degree to which one's lives are appraised as stressful, uncontrollable, or unpredictable in the previous week, or I'm sorry, in the previous month. And this assesses symptoms such as, I feel like I'm unable to control important things in my life, or I lack the confidence or ability to handle personal problems. And so this has a 9-point cutoff for moderate to severe stress symptoms. So each week, women were asked, and this was in the weekly journal surveys, women were asked if they'd been sexually active the previous week, and then if they'd also used a contraceptive method in the previous week. We looked at non-use of contraception, coital-specific contraceptive methods, as well as non-coital contraceptive method use. So, for instance, non-coital contraceptive method use could have included oral contraceptives, the ring, the patch, the IUD, the implant. For these analyses, there are a few women who use long-acting methods or the injectable, so we grouped them together. And then also for coital-specific methods, this could have included methods like condoms, withdrawal, other coital methods such as the diaphragm, the cap, female condom, etc. We also looked at specific contraceptive method use among women who reported having used a contraceptive method in the past week. And we categorized this by most effective method use, so women were top-coded to the most effective method that they had reported in the previous week. Then women were further asked if they had used a method of contraception consistently or every single time that they'd had intercourse in the previous week, even if they weren't trying to become pregnant. So ultimately, the outcome for this piece was women weeks of contraceptive, consistent contraceptive use. So we found that over a quarter of women reported elevated baseline depression and stress symptoms. Depression symptoms we found were associated with several sociodemographic characteristics, including race, ethnicity, educational enrollment, number of sexual partners, age, acuitarchy, and gravity. For instance, black women, those high school dropouts, women that had a younger age acuitarchy and more lifetime sexual partners and more history of more pregnancies had greater depressive symptoms than their counterparts, whereas stress was only associated with lifetime number of sexual partners and age acuitarchy. So over the one-year follow-up, this shows the proportion of weeks of contraceptive use. So you can see contraceptive non-use on the left, depicted in gray, was reported in 10% of weekly journals. Non-coital method use, such as oral contraceptives, for instance, which is depicted in the yellow, were reported in 48% of weeks, while coital-specific method use alone, so I use condoms only, for instance, in blue, was reported in 42% of weeks. On the right-hand side, where for the most effective method used in weeks where women did report using a method, women most commonly reported oral contraceptives, you can see in the yellow, then followed by condoms, and then withdrawal. Much fewer women reported long-acting methods or depo, that was about 8%, and then the ring or the patch, only 2%. The proportion of weeks in which a contraceptive method was used consistently was about 72%. The number of weeks of consistent contraceptive use ranged from 0 to 25, that was per woman, with a mean of about 18 weeks. So about one quarter of the sample had less than 9 weeks of contraceptive consistency, and half of the sample had less than 26 weeks of contraceptive consistency. Among the 28 weeks of inconsistent contraceptive use, women reported using no method 35% of the time, and 50% of the time they reported using coital-only methods, like condoms, and then 10% of the time they reported using non-coital methods. The most common methods reported having been used in inconsistent weeks was withdrawal, condoms, and oral contraceptives. And just to say that weekly consistency of contraceptive use was associated with all of women's sociodemographic characteristics. So, for instance, the proportion of inconsistent weeks of contraceptive use was higher among younger women, among black women, among undereducated and unemployed women, those receiving public assistance, women who were cohabitating or engaged, those with more lifetime sexual partners, as well as an early age of coitarchy and the history of pregnancy. So here we can see the proportion of unadjusted proportion of contraceptive use among women with psychological symptoms in yellow and those without elevated psychological symptoms in blue. And the proportions were very similar for stress and depression, so they're grouped together here. But you can see that women with psychological symptoms had higher proportions of contraceptive non-use, lower proportions of non-coital method use, such as oral contraceptives, and then higher proportions of coital-only method use. On the right-hand side, where we can see specific method use by women's most effective method used, you can see women with psychological symptoms had lower use of long-acting methods and oral contraceptives, but slightly higher proportions of use of condoms and other hormonal methods, which include the ring and the patch. So in random effects logistic regression models, where we control for women-specific effects, the number of journals completed, and sociodemographic characteristics, women with moderate to severe stress symptoms had twice the odds of contraceptive non-use each week compared to women without elevated stress symptoms. And the results in these models for depression were not significant. Among women who use contraceptive methods, we present here the results of the multinomial logistic regression models. Moderate to severe depression and stress symptoms were associated with use of less effective methods each week. So women, for instance, with moderate to severe depression and stress symptoms, the relative risk of using long-acting methods was lower than for using oral contraceptives. Oral contraceptives was the reference group. This was by far the most commonly used method. Also, women with stress symptoms had higher relative risks of using condoms and withdrawal as compared to OCs. Based on very small numbers, the relative risk of using the ring and the patch, though, versus OCs was higher for women with both depression and stress symptoms. In multivariable random effects logistic regression models, where we looked at the odds of weekly consistency of contraceptive use, we found that baseline moderate to severe depression and stress symptoms were still negatively associated with weekly consistency of contraceptive use. So you can see that depression, those with elevated depression symptoms had 47% lower odds of contraceptive consistency as compared to those with less than severe symptoms or less than moderate symptoms. Also, similarly, those with stress symptoms have 47% lower odds of using contraceptive consistently each week. When we broke it down by contraceptive method, baseline moderate to severe stress symptoms were negatively associated with inconsistent use of both non-coital methods as well as coital-only methods. Particularly less consistent use of oral contraceptives, of condoms, and withdrawal. And that was for women with stress symptoms. So our findings suggest that compared to young women without elevated baseline depression and stress symptoms, those with moderate to severe depression and stress symptoms appear to be at risk each week of contraceptive non-use, of less effective method use, and of inconsistent contraceptive use, particularly inconsistent use for the most commonly used methods, which require greater user diligence and effort. Our findings have important, implications for clinical and public health practice. So, for instance, health providers may consider screening for psychological symptoms when we're counseling, initiating, and managing contraceptive methods. And women with mental health considerations may be ideal candidates, actually, for long-acting methods, which offer highly effective options but with less adherence concerns. In terms of research directions, we really need better, more detailed, dynamic measures of psychological symptoms part of these measures were only included in the baseline survey for non-pregnant women, so we need to get a more accurate time-varying measure of depression and stress symptoms and see how those are associated with contraceptive patterns. Also, we didn't examine specific characteristics of contraceptive behaviors. So, for instance, pill-taking behaviors, circumstances around missed pills, or maybe condom breakage, things like that. So that may have under or overestimated our estimations for consistent use. And that is it. Thank you. So I'm happy to take any questions. So this is a great question. In this study, my analysis was part of a much bigger R01-funded study by Jennifer Barber, and the title is actually Relationship Dynamics and Social Life Survey. And one of the major goals was to look at partnerships and partner variations. In this analysis, we included a couple of variables, and it was mostly just partner status. It wasn't nature of partnerships. Some of my colleagues are doing really fascinating work with the more detailed partner measures. We even have qualitative interviews, and we've actually found a lot of violence issues emerge from the data. So that's being looked at. There's a lot of people working on this study, and so I think partnering up, for instance, with Yasmin, who's sort of head of the partnership information, would be important in terms of from a mental health standpoint. But that's a great question. Sure, that's a great question too. We had so few women, less than 2% of women reported using the ring or the patch. So it's hard to make any conclusions based upon that. But there is a lot of literature that has focused on use of those methods and some of the characteristics of women who use those methods. So I think that they're, but also, one of the hypotheses entering this study was that women with stress and depression symptoms may be more likely to be inconsistent users, and we did find that. But on the other hand, women with depression and stress symptoms may recognize that they need effective methods and choose methods like the ring or the patch, which is some sort of intermediate between LARC. We had few women using LARC methods too, so clearly we need more to be done on this. Just so few women in the study, it's hard to make conclusions, but that's a good question.
Great, Kelly. And when I'm finally getting more information on the moderating factors between social standards and outcomes, I was shocked that stress is more common than depression. And I was wondering, could you comment on that in light of some other studies around life events and connections to abortion?
Right. That's a great question, too. It's very interesting. So my dissertation at Columbia several years back also looked at depression and stress symptoms using these same measures. And we just had 2 points in time, and we looked at 6 months oral contraceptive discontinuation. And that study, which was the first of which I'm aware to look at such a thing, I also found stress had a much stronger effect. Stress and depression are very intertwined and related in some cases. And so in this study, there was a correlation like 0.51, an R of 0.51. But they are different constructs, as you were sort of mentioning. And I think a lot of stress measures are included in surveys as sort of a proxy for anxiety symptoms. And so I think that for contraceptive use, when we're thinking about behaviors and choices and outcomes, that while they may manifest similarly, for instance, let's think about like depressed women and unintended pregnancy. They may not feel like they even want to engage in sexual activity. They may not have the motivation to be active or whatever. Whereas stressed women, and actually I found this in our study because we looked at sexual behavior each week, and the stressed women, which is going to be another forthcoming paper, the stressed women were having more sex, but it was unprotected, whereas the depressed women were having less sex, but it was unprotected. So it's kind of getting at your question. In terms of the much broader literature on like stress and coping, I heard a great presentation at the National Forum of Family Planning yesterday, in fact, thinking about sort of empowering women that women can recognize their stress symptoms and engage in healthy behaviors. So I don't know, I think it's complex. That's not exactly answering your question, but anyone else? Okay, thank you.